The John Daly Show. Travel.
And my business partner, Susan Anzalone, and I get a chance to talk to Dale Bellis. He is the executive director and co-founder of Liberty HealthShare. But we're not talking about healthcare. We're actually talking about a trip he won to Hong Kong.
It was just really one of those serendipitous moments in life that you never expect or anticipate. I was attending a seminar put on by the Entrepreneur magazine. I recommend it to everybody. About how to reach the millennial generation with whatever message that you're putting into the marketplace. Millennials, as you may know, are a different breed, John.
Sure.
They are. My daughter's one of them, and I can barely figure her out as to what her interests are, how she buys, what she does, what her interests are. But here's one of the things that I discovered about millennials that really thrills me. That is, they want their life to produce significance. They want whatever they do with their dollars to have an impact in the lives of others. Man, does that ring a bell for me as it relates to healthcare sharing.
Absolutely.
Because we're taking our money and sending it to each other. And our dollars are going into the life of another person. And that produces a sense of significance, of impact, of using my current money and my current dollars to produce results in the life of another person. So, wow, was I excited to find that out. But at the end of the seminar, they gave out door prizes. Have you ever won a door prize, John?
I did. In fact, Susan and I were at a conference.
A travel conference.
And we won a drone.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have our own drone.
You have your own drone. Looking out over the city you live in,
you can fly snooping it
over your neighbor's shoulders. I don't know.
Yep, and you can use video.
All right,
we can take video. I would say I've probably crashed it more than I've flown it.
But I have to tell you,
good thing we won it.
Yeah, I've never hardly won anything in the course of my decadal life. I'm an old guy. I'm about, you know, I've entered into the decades of my 60s. I never won anything. And suddenly, as a result of attending this conference, they read out my ticket number, and my wife and I are awarded two free round-trip tickets on a very luxurious airline from Boston, where the seminar is being conducted, to Hong Kong and back. I was floored. And I happened to receive those tickets on my wife's birthday. So I had a great call. Hey, honey. Hey, honey, guess what I got you for your birthday, right?
Now, had you intended ever to go to Hong Kong?
Never. Never intended to, although it was on my bucket list, but it certainly wasn't on my wife Kathy's list. She was not all that excited, frankly, about going to Hong Kong when I told her about what she got for her birthday that day. But at the end of the experience, she was thrilled that we had a chance to go.
So you went over there. You actually had a good time. You really made it into a bigger trip. But tell me, was there anything about Hong Kong that surprised you?
The mix of old history and modern city was really fascinating to me. I mean, you would have a high-rise steel and glass, high-rise apartment building.
Like a skyscraper.
A skyscraper, thank you. And next to it is a mom-and-pop Chinese shop selling herbs. You know, it's just this mix, plus the imprint of the British founding of Hong Kong was fascinating to me because as we visited various points of that entire island, that British history back in the early 1800s was evident to me. And that sense of historical experience and founding, plus the modern impact of that entire city and the commerce that occurs there, was really a fascination to me.
Now, some folks from Hong Kong, they're not really happy that they're under Chinese rule now. Did you see or feel anything about that while you were there?
It did not feel as if we were in mainland China by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, our guide was very clear telling us that they were a free and autonomous region, even though they were under Chinese government control. They operated autonomously from mainland China with their own elections, their own city council, etc. So I was fascinated by that, kind of expecting, frankly, that there would be a lot more top-down rule and recognition of that presence of the Red Chinese, but that was not there.
Now, what would you say to people going over there? What's the biggest tip that you would give them for them going to Hong Kong?
My biggest tip was just enjoy the confluence of both East and West that occurs in Hong Kong. Just kind of the markets, the street markets mm-hmm. that are there are very Chinese-like. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, you have the Western influence, both in terms of restaurants and food, and just enjoy that the togetherness of those, even the clash of those two cultures in one place at one time. Kathy and I enjoyed taking a particular tour bus where you could get on and get off at different places, and we got to really see every aspect of the Hong Kong experience and culture and truly, truly enjoy that.
Now, would you go back again?
I would, mm-hmm. at a moment's notice, would go back to Hong Kong. As you indicated, we added to that Hong Kong experience by taking our own trip into mainland China. If I were called of God to go to China as a missionary, I'd show up tomorrow, but I wouldn't necessarily return there as a tourist. I experienced it, loved the fact we went to mainland China, but it is so culturally different and distinct from everything we experience here in the West. It produced with me, and I'll just be honest with you, a bit of unease. After being there for 2.5 weeks, I was having this internal disruption, realizing that everything around us was so culturally different that I was kind of experiencing a little bit of culture shock.
So was it more, was it the culture? Was it the politics? Was it just you're just so used to being an American? Was that the big thing maybe?
Well, number one, there are different cultural experiences in China in terms of even your interaction with other individuals. We have a sense here in the West of certain spatial differences. Mm-hmm. That is, when I talk to you, Susan, I maintain a distance of about 2 or 3 feet. Mm-hmm. That's not the case in China. When they communicate with you, they invade that personal space that we kind of expect, and it's a little disconcerting, frankly. The second thing is they don't know a thing at all about standing in line for a queue. Whenever they go to a public event, they open the doors. It's a stampede as to who gets in there first. They'll elbow past you, whether you've been standing there for 2 hours in line, patiently waiting for the doors to open or not. I found that just a fascinating cultural difference. And then third, of course, is the food. The food in China is everything unlike what we experience here in terms of westernized Chinese food. My wife loves Chinese food here in the U.S. The food in China was totally different.
Totally different how?
We have the kind of the wok experience mm-hmm. here in WOK, yep. Kind of our woked sort of Chinese food. Over there, it's just cooked different. It's chopped up differently. It's not sweet and sour pork or chicken. It's just prepared differently.
Different spices.
Different spices, different appearance, different textures. And they're very heavy on dumplings, as you well know. and it's not pot stickers. It's the what they put inside those dumplings and then steam them is just different from what we would ordinarily experience. And so we found that to be a bit of a cultural change.
Now, was it easy or hard to communicate with the people?
Well, I found the Chinese people very accommodating, very friendly, wanting to be very helpful. And if we needed directions to a particular site or, you know, we reached out to them individually, they were very gracious and kind and hospitable people. And so we found that very easy.
Do they seem to take the government's line on history? Because I think you had some tour guides over there, right?
We did. And in fact, we were bold enough to ask the Chinese I didn't. My wife did. the Chinese guide as to some of the historical information about China and its founding and the Cultural Revolution and Mao Zedong, etc. And he was very direct. Surprised me that this is the information we've had from the Chinese government. We're blocked from being able to even research it on Google because we don't have Google in China. And so this is what we've been told. It may be different than this, but this is what we've been told, and that's all I can tell you. And so it was. He was very open about that, straightforward and transparent, but it was evident to me as a part of the control of the Red Chinese government over its people, monitoring the information that they receive.
Did you walk away feeling that China is friend or foe?
I came away, the people are very, very friendly. There's an awareness that there is a layer of governmental control that's evident particularly in mainland China. But the people themselves are incredibly open, gracious, and supportive of Westerners. What also surprised me, John, is both the economy, the technology that people access every day. There's a layer of entrepreneurialism, free enterprise in China that I didn't anticipate and expect, all the way from the taxi cab drivers to the street vendors, to the hotel operators, etc. They are developing businesses that generate income that's underneath the layer of Chinese, Red Chinese government control. As relates to healthcare, I was surprised. Their healthcare arrangements very similar to our Medicare arrangement, mm-hmm. which may give us pause. I don't know. Yeah. but they pay a monthly amount in order to access that healthcare arrangement in China. It's just simply not provided to them free of charge. They're having to pay a monthly premium for that government-provided healthcare. And the sense of customer satisfaction was interesting to me. The response that we received on the healthcare side was that it's okay for catastrophes. It's not so good when it comes to trying to deal with everyday health concerns. And they turned to their local practitioners and their Chinese folk medicine. And other means for meeting healthcare needs that's traditional with Chinese. In fact, both my wife and I kind of experienced the Ming Dynasty revenge while we were there, and we accessed some of that secret Chinese medicine
herbal
sorts of treatments. They worked wonderfully well. I'd recommend them.
So, did you feel comfortable over there if you thought you might get sick or something might have happened to you? I mean, for a lot of people who are going over there, it's a totally different system. If you're in Hong Kong, probably a different feeling. Did you feel anything one way or another?
I had no anxiety about that felt like if something did transpire or occur, we'd have resources there to turn to. And in fact, just the over-the-counter remedies that we accessed worked wonderfully well. And our interactions with our English-speaking guides was really spectacular and talked about religious freedom in China and discovered from those that we spoke to that they felt very free to exercise their personal faith, which I was grateful for. And that at least at that level of communication, they were not worried about any kind of interference in their everyday life. in terms of expressing their faith and being able to worship. Although we do hear from time to time, as we all know, in the news of there seems to be surges of that when the red Chinese government tamps it down and interferes. Yeah. But at least at the level of our discussion with as many people as we could talk to, I was grateful to see a degree of ability to exercise both religious freedom as well as economic freedom that was really fascinating to me. I didn't expect it.
What were the three cities you visited again?
Beijing, which is, of course, the capital, 23 million people. We went to an ancient capital there where there's a lot of excavation, but it was where the dynasties held their capital, which was Xi'an. And then we went on to probably the most economically prosperous city of all, and a shipping port, which was Shanghai. And so we experienced those three cities. Shanghai, by the way, is 30 million people. A part of that culture and feeling of difference just has to do with the quantity of people that occupy the space that you're in. And we here in the West don't have that same kind of experience. But, you know, when you're living in a city of 30 million people, larger than many of our actual states, you know, it's really a fascinating experience to see it.
What about the Great Wall?
That was probably the highlight of our entire trip. That and the what's referred to as the Terracotta Soldiers in Xi'an. But the Great Wall of China, it was very instructive to me that it took several generations to repair it and build it. Whenever they started building the wall to prevent the hordes of Mongols invading their country, they did it with slave labor to start. And then figured out that it would be best if they hired the help to get it done. And so they started paying wages, and the building of the Great Wall proceeded dramatically faster than what they were able to use through slave labor. But here was the other interesting observation. As fascinating and as complex as the building of the wall was and is, and to walk on it with that kind of history was really a great high point, the Mongols still invaded.
Right. Yeah.
And China was under the control of the Mongols for about 500 years. So even though they had the wall in place, the Mongols still invaded. So I'm not sure what that portends for us in our modern day in terms of our discussion about building walls. Whether somebody else is paying for it or not.
Right.
Or if they put doors in the walls.
Yeah, it's kind of instructive, I think.
Wow. How about the smog? Was the smog a problem for you?
It was terrible. It was awful in Beijing. And interestingly, in Shanghai, it was not the case. But it was very, very heavy. And the Chinese folks themselves wear the masks in the smog-ridden city of Beijing. It was very, very heavy there. Not the case, though, in some of the other cities.
And you felt it too, Susan, when you were there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It burns your eyes, you know. So even if you have a scarf or anything over your face just to help you breathe, it still burns your eyes.
Sure. Okay, yeah. Good.
But maybe in Shanghai, it blows it out to sea.
It could.
That could be
I'm not
the case
sure
there.
Just exactly why it was not an issue there, but it certainly was in Beijing.
So now, number one tip for people from the U.S. going to China.
My number one tip is to just be an observer of all things Chinese. Just try to absorb everything that is there and experience it without judgment. Just accept it and see it and observe it. I was just fascinated by all of the differences in culture, the experience, the history. My tip is to just be open to all of the potential experience and change that you would come across in China, because it is such a distinct and different culture from our own.
Were there any customs or... For instance, in certain cultures, you don't shake hands or you don't touch somebody. Was there anything like that you had to try to think about or observe, or are they pretty much on the same page with
us? They're pretty much in the same way. They behave toward us Westerners as they would expect a Westerner would behave. So shaking hands and greeting was no difficulty. But again, the biggest cultural difference that I observed was that spatial difference. That when they communicate with you, they're up real close. And I have to just admit, it was a little uncomfortable at times because we here in the West love our space. And, you know, when you're scrunched together with 30 million folks, it changes that immensely.
Well, yeah. We're glad you survived it and glad you got over there, Dale.
Yeah, well, it was a pleasure to do. An experience, and I would recommend for Americans to visit China, Hong Kong, and mainland China, and just go there as a friend, because I think that's the way we impact the world around us.
And just real quickly, because
exactly.
we put together a video for you before you went to Hong Kong. Did the video help, or did it kind of give you... Or was it just when you got there, wow, totally different from the video?
No, it did help a great deal. Thank you so much, particularly with the Hong Kong experience and the night markets and the kinds of foods to expect and some of the sights to see there in Hong Kong that we would otherwise have missed if we hadn't been if we didn't been assisted by the advice of some long-term observers of Hong Kong. It helped us a great deal. So I'm grateful for that, and that was useful.
There's more from Dale in another episode. We will talk to him about a side trip he took from Hong Kong to mainland China.
For more on John Daly, go to jetsetterdeals.com.